Ivory, written by Tony Park and read by Mark Davis. Alex looked out the hatch of the helicopter, watching a herd of giraffe loping away from the noise of the helicopter as they raced along above the dry, grey-green carpet of bush. The wind, coming in through the opening, provided a welcome relief from the day's heat. Alex felt a tap on his shoulder and looked up. The flight engineer was standing beside him, pointing to the black nylon backpack Alex had brought with him from the four-wheel drive. They had just completed the fourth pickup of tusks on this trip, the ninth in total. There was one to go. Joost leaned closer to him and yelled, "Give me your pack. I've got to move it." "I need the stuff in there," Alex shouted back. The flight engineer shook his head. "We're going to be nearly full after the next pickup. Let me stow it in the rear. It'll be safe." The helicopter started to bank. He was right. There was barely enough room for Alex, his men, and the two security guards as it was, and there was still one more load of tusks to come on board. Nevertheless, he could not risk handing over the pack. Joost grabbed the bag, but Alex held tight. "Give me the bag, please, sir." Alex wavered and was about to comply, thinking he could get to the backpack when they next touched down and the flight engineer was busy manhandling Ivory. But then Joost reached across with his other hand and accidentally grabbed a nylon tab attached to a zip. As he pulled, the flap came undone, exposing the butt of an R5 assault rifle. The flight engineer stared at the weapon, his mind trying to process the information his eyes were sending him. The public relations team were military people, but why would they be carrying weapons with them as well as cameras? He reached for the press-to-talk switch clipped to the front of his flying suit. Alex jerked the bag violently back towards himself, pulling Joost off balance. As the man fell towards him, Alex shot his right fist up hard and fast, punching the man in the Adam's apple. He lurched backwards, reaching for his neck with one hand. Alex reached behind his back and pulled the Glock from the holster under his shirt. He leaned forward and grabbed the leads connecting the press switch to Joost's helmet, put his foot on the man's chest to hold him on the deck, and ripped the cables free. Novak and Kufer had needed no orders to spring into action, or warning that the plan's timing had suddenly been brought forward. Novak King hit the black airman in the face, bringing forth a spurt of blood from his nose, while Kufer had the white man covered with his pistol, which he'd been wearing in a shoulder holster under his camouflage shirt. The African airman dropped his head between his knees, blood pulsing through his fingers, while Kobus dragged the men's R5s from under their seats. Novak moved to Alex's side and covered the flight engineer, still lying on his back. He was alive, though breathing was clearly a difficult task for him, for he was bright red in the face. As Alex spun round, he saw Patrice, the co-pilot, looking over her shoulder. She was open-mouthed with shock at the scene unfolding behind her. Alex had been scanning the helicopter cockpit instrumentation during the flight and had identified what he thought was the radio, judging by an illuminated display of numbers that looked like a radio frequency. He hadn't confirmed it with Cobus yet, but he prayed he was right as he raised his pistol and fired a bullet into it. The Oryx banked sickeningly to the left as the pilot flinched away from the noise of the gunshot, still brutal even over the whine of the engines and the shower of sparks that erupted from the console in front of him. Alex grabbed the rear of the pilot's seat and thrust the barrel of his pistol up under the colonel's chin to reinforce the point that the machine was now under new management.